Welcome to Imprint Church Podcast, the platform where we bring you sermons and discussions to equip you in your walk with God. Grab a notebook and pen, or open your notes app and take a listen to today's episode.
Do you know what the Father did? He threw a party for the son that once betrayed him, for the son that once left him, for the son that once said, "You're dead to me." In response to him coming home, the father threw a party. He threw a fist. He killed the best cow or whatever it is that they killed. He got the best of the best just to celebrate his son. Some of you, the father is waiting to throw a party because of your return. He welcomes you with celebration. You see, when it says in the Bible that when one sinner repents, like all of the angels rejoice. There is a party in heaven whenever one sinner repents. That's how much God loves us. Your repentance, your turning to God, your returning to God, it's not like God is just, "Oh, finally she's back. Oh, finally, you know, it's been so long. I'm glad you finally came back, came to your senses." No! The Father is waiting for you with open arms. The Father is waiting for you and he rejoices in your return. He delights in your return. He delights in your relationship with him. And then do you know what? He didn't stop there. He didn't just say, "Okay, let's celebrate." Do you know what the father did? He said, "Get the robe, get the shoes, and get my ring." You know, he clothed him, covered his shame, covered his nakedness, covered everything. You know, the father's not just going to say, "Oh, I'm going to welcome you back and you're going to have to deal with yourself now." You know, you deal with the consequences of the sin that you're indulging when you're far from me by yourself. That's not what the Father does, but he cleans us up. He clothes us in his righteousness. He heals us. He restores us. He reinstates us back to who he has called us to be. That's our Father. He doesn't leave you to deal with it by yourself. Some of you need to know that. Some of you need to get that tonight. The Father wants to heal you. The Father wants to remove the shame from you. The Father wants to silence the condemnation, the guilt that you have carried for so many years. He wants to take it off of you. Some of you have been weighed down by guilt and condemnation of things that you did so many years ago, and it's just been running up and down in your mind. But tonight, the Father is saying, "I want to take away your guilt. I want to take away your, I want to take away the shame. You no longer have to walk with your head held low, but I am clothing you with my righteousness. I am clothing you with my glory so that you can walk with your head held high." That son, you know, the robes are really important, especially when you look in the Bible. Robes, like they the type of robes that you have is a representation of something. That robe meant when he walked in, he wasn't just walking in as a servant. He was walking in as a son. But not only did the father reinstate him by giving him a robe to clothe them with, he gave him the ring. Back in the day, a ring, especially for a rich family or for a king, if you have the ring, you have all the authority of that family name. You have all the power of that family name. You know, I was reading the book of Ruth the other day, and it talks after Ruth, you know, has managed to tell the king about Mordecai, about the, what's his name, Haman's plan, and he's killed, whatever. Then he goes back to the king and say, "King, like, you know, I can't watch my people suffer or get killed." He says, "Take my ring. Write whatever you want, because as long as after you put the stamp of my ring on it, like whatever you write, whatever you write, they will listen to it. It carries my authority as if he himself has written it." Amen. So you see, he's given back authority. He was technically this son, he's already had his inheritance. So he shouldn't have any other part of the family. But the Father is so good. The Father is so good, He restored him back into the family. Gave him back the authority of the family, the power of the family, the inheritance of the family. He could now come, you know, the servants, if he didn't have the rings, he probably couldn't come around and boss around the servants anymore. They'll look at him like, nah, you ain't nothing anymore. But that ring was a showcase that he carries the authority of the Father. And then he didn't stop there. He gave him new shoes. He gave him new shoes. He gave him new shoes. He blessed him. He blessed him. So see, tonight, I don't know who needs to come back to the Father. Or you're like, God, like the prodigal son, maybe it's not that you've even gone away completely, but you've just not been surrendering your life completely to him. Or you've not even trusted him. But tonight, he wants to welcome you back with open arms. Tonight, he's inviting you back into the family. Tonight, he's inviting you back. You see, some of you might be the brother. You see, that son had a brother. He stayed with the father. He stayed in the house. But he thought he had to work his way. He had to work. He had to earn the father's love. He had to earn the father's inheritance. He had to earn the father's approval. Maybe you're like, God, I've been doing all of these things. I've been praying. I've been waking up every morning, but nothing has changed. Oh, but God, I've done all of the right things. Because the son did all of the right things. You know, he was so angry after he saw the father throw a party for his brother. He was so angry. He was so upset. Then he went to his father and said, I've been here. I've been doing all of the right things. I've worked for you. I stayed with you. But you never even gave me a small calf to kill with my friends and enjoy. But God, I've done this. I've prayed. I've done this. I've done all of the right things. But why haven't you? But why am I still depressed? Why am I still feeling this way? Why am I still in the same situation? Why is it that nothing seems to be changing? Do you know what the father said to him? He said, you never had to work for it. You never had to earn it. See, it's not your praying and you're doing the right things that's convincing God, changing God's heart. See, sometimes we do things because we think that by doing them, we're going to convince God to give it to us. You know, God has been challenging that. So, you know, sometimes, like, oh God, I'm going to pray and fast so that God will give me this thing. I'm going to, you know, spend 2 hours worshiping and praying so I'll get this thing. But actually, the reality is, it's not in our praying. It's not our doing all of these things. You know, Jesus said, you know, don't be like the Pharisees, because they think that in their many praying, in their much speaking, they will receive. So that means it's not about the words. It's not about the acts. It's about relationship. It's about knowing the Father. You know, I'm discovering more and more that prayer doesn't change God's mind as much as it changes me. Prayer, what it actually does most of the times, it changes me. It changes me. Because God is already good. God is already good. He already has a good plan for your life. You know, sometimes I need to find out God's plan for my life. Like, I need to pray and fast. I need to do all of these things. If he already knows it, we don't need to beg God. We're not begging to enter the kingdom. You know, a son does not need to beg from his father. We're not begging. It's not in our striving that we're going to convince God for certain things to happen in our lives. You don't have to work for it. Not saying that those things are not important. I'm not saying we don't need to pray. But our motive for prayer has to change. Our motive for fasting has to change. Our motives for coming to church, worshiping, living out in love, everything has to change. It's not that I'm doing this thing so I can get God to change my mind, but actually I'm doing this thing so I can meet my Father. It's more about the relationship. You see, in some ways, the younger son, the one who went away, knew his father better than the son who stayed. He knew his character. He knew that his father would at least accept him back with mercy. The other son who thought by working, you know, he even, from the very beginning, he knew that if he asked his father for inheritance, he would give it to him. He knew that if he asked, he would receive. He had confidence in his father. So do you know who your father is? Do you know who your savior is? Do you know the one you worship? Do you know the one you praise? Know him. Sorry. Oh. See, so for some of you, he's inviting you back. For some of you, he's inviting you into relationship so you can know him. You see, when you know his ways, the way you act, the way you approach situations begin to change. The way you live your life begins to change. You live a life of obedience rather than a life where you're always fighting God. You live a life sold out to him. You live a fearless life. You know, sometimes our problems that we have with fear is because we've just not understood who God is. The anxiety that we're struggling with at times is because we've just known who God is. We've not known him. We've not known his character. We've not understood his ways. You see this clearly in the story of the children of Israel versus Moses. Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel only knew his acts. Some of us only know the acts of God. We only know God by the things he's done for us. So the moment that the things are not happening, the moments when we're not seeing anything manifest in the natural, oh God, you haven't come through. That means that you've left me, you've deserted me. That means you're not here. But God, you know, I'm coming to prayer and I'm not feeling the goosebumps anymore. Does that mean you're not meeting me anymore? We only know God by the acts, right? But actually, there is a higher place. You know, my message for today, I wasn't planning to say all of that, but my message today was saying that he's calling us higher. There is a higher place. There is a deeper way. There is a higher place where God is calling us to. He's calling us to ascend the mountain, to live above culture, to live above the problems of today, to live above what we can see. Because it says we are seated with him in heavenly places. And he's calling us to live from that place of being seated with him. And for you to do that, you're going to have to know more than just his acts. You're going to have to start getting to know his ways. You're going to have to start knowing his character. If you understand that God is good, whether I see it right now or not, he is good. He's not changing. Because it says he never changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And because I know of that, right now I might not see, my life might not seem like his goodness is here, but I'm convinced nothing is going to change my mind that he's good. So even in the midst of this trial, I will rejoice because I know he's good. Even though he hasn't come through yet, I know he's coming through. I know there is a rescue coming. Because there is a rescuer, there is a savior who fights for me, who walks with me. It's time for us to know his ways. It's time for us to know the ways of God. We have to move past a Christianity that we only know by other people's testimonies. It's time for us, you know, Jesus said, greater things than this will you do. Jesus is waiting for us to do greater things than he did. And we're not going to get that done. We're not going to live in that reality if we don't know who God is. If we're not in relationship with him. If we're not walking in obedience and in fear of the Lord. You see, some of us, the places where we're stuck, the things that are not going well in our lives is because we haven't fully surrendered to him. We haven't known him. We haven't known him. You know, this last couple of, today is actually the last day of the fast. You know, God has been so faithful. And for me, one of the things I can testify over this past 21 days is that God has just been changing my mindset. He's been transforming and renewing my mind over certain things. There's so many. I didn't realize how much fear I was walking in until he revealed it to me. He said, "Nah, you're afraid. You don't trust me in a lot of areas. Because if you trusted me, there's some things you should have done by now. You'd have stepped out in some areas by now. You'd have done some things by now. But because you don't actually know me in this area." And one of the things that he's been teaching me is to actually understand that he's with me. He is with me. He is with me. The God of the universe is with me. Winter, come up, please. See, me understanding that God is with me, right? If God is with me, wherever I'm going, he's going with me, right? If I was about to fall, he's with me, right? So he will hold me. So he's not going to let me fall over because he's with me. So what, thank you, what he might be calling me into is scary. Some of the instructions he's giving me might look scary, but the fact that he's with me, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. So what is it about God that you need to understand so that you can begin to fully live the life that he has called you to? Some of you, greatness awaits you, but your lack of understanding of who God is has kept you in the place that you're at. Some of you, God has so much more for you. But because you've not understood him, you've not understood his ways and certain things, you stayed in Egypt. Or maybe like the children of Israel, you've come out and at the first sight of danger, like, nah, I'm going back. Rather than, because the thing is, if you knew him at the Red Sea, you say, okay, God, you said we're going, so we are going. Like, you're going to have to make a way in this. That's what knowing his ways did. Moses didn't panic in fear. He didn't panic In fear, he went to the Lord. He prayed. God gave him a solution. Next obstacle. You've caught us here to die. There's no food. Moses was like, it's true now. Let's just go back. That's not how he responded, but because he knew the ways of God, he knew Jehovah Jireh, he knew the provider. He said, nah, we're going to pray. He went to the place of prayer and God, what? Send manna. See, knowing God is not a luxury. It's not for the few. It's not just for the pastors. It's not for the apostles. It's not for the prophets. It's for all of us. It is for all of us. So stop saying, stop thinking that, no, I'll leave that. You know, the deep stuff. I don't want to be one of those deep Christians. I don't want to leave. You know, I don't want to. I don't. You know, it's for the prayer warriors. No, it's not. It's for you. It's for you. Knowing God is for you. It's not exclusive. It's not exclusive. It's not exclusive. He's inviting each and every one of us into relationship. He's inviting each and every one of us into intimacy with him. Because I'm not going to lie to you, the world out there is dark. We all know it. We've all seen it. And what's going to keep us, what will keep us going in these last days is our knowledge of him. It's what we are convinced about him. That is what will set us apart. He wants a people set apart unto him. Because when you're set apart unto him, you can be the Moses, your generation. The one that leads young people out of depression. When you're set apart unto him, you can be the Joshua and Calebs that say, when trouble, when intimidation comes our way, you say, now we're more than able. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to accept this narrative. And you can go and take the promised land. When you are set apart unto him, when you're set apart unto him, you'll be like, Jesus, in the midst of hunger, you're like, let's feed all of these people. Imagine if more of us thought like Jesus with the current situation that we have right now. If more of us understood God as a provider, how many of us would be praying like, God, we need increase, multiplication of this food so that we can feed the homeless people in our streets. So that we can be a blessing to the families that are choosing what meal of the day to eat. See, it's not just for you. We are called to be the light of the world. God is calling us to be a light of the world. But if we don't first of all know that, know him, and know that we've been called as a light, we can't be the light. We can't shine. Some of you, God has placed solutions to what's going on in the world right now. But because we're not connected to him, we don't know him, we're not living out, we're not stepping out in the boldness that we need to be. So you see, this year, God is calling us higher. We can't settle. I can't anymore. I can't settle for a powerless Christianity, for a form of godliness without the power thereof. I can't be satisfied with where I've been. I'm not satisfied with what I've seen. I'm not satisfied with the hopelessness, that depression. Guys, some of the stats I'm seeing with young people, like suicide has gone up about 200% from 2007. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied any longer. We literally have the opportunity. Once you've been introduced to Jesus, we have the word of life. We have the solution that the world needs. It's Jesus. But if you don't know it for yourself first, you're not able to go out there and share it to the people that need it. You receive from him first. You have to understand who he's called you to be first. You need to know him for yourself first. You need to know him. God is calling all of us to sit at his feet, to learn of him. To learn who he is. Because whenever I learn of him, it's what gives me the boldness to come up here and be able to share it with you. When I see who he is, it's what gives me the boldness to pray. The prayers that sometimes I'll pray. It's what gives me the boldness to step out, even though my bank account might be saying something else. To live a generous life. To love those who don't love, like those that are unlovable. When I know that he first loved me, when I know how much he loves me, I can live out a radical kind of love. I can forgive because he first forgave me, because he forgives my sins. I can share hope because he's my hope. And so he's calling us higher. He's calling us deeper. Guys, we don't have to settle with where we're at. There is so much more. There is so much joy. There is so much to discover in him, in knowing him. This couple of weeks where God, I'm gonna fully give myself to you again. Not just settle for a form of Christianity, like, oh yeah, I'm praying, I'm doing all of the right things, but I'm not really giving myself to relationship with him, to knowing him, have been some of the happiest times of my life because I've come to know him deeper. All the best moments of my life is when I've being in that place of being fully yielded to him. In that place of deep fellowship with him. It doesn't mean that everything was going on okay. Like, as in, it doesn't mean everything was, well, I had so much, everything was just working out perfectly. No, but even in the midst of things not working out perfectly, but because I am connected to him and because I know him, because he is with me, because the God of the universe speaks to me, he's my father. That's the greatest joy. He's filled me with peace. He's filled me with gladness. He's healed me. God has healed my trauma. God has healed the brokenness of my heart. And it's an invitation for all of us. For all of us. We're all invited. We're all invited into the family of God. So tonight, I want to end with reading scripture Because I feel like this verse, it's quite a long passage, so bear with me. I feel like this is what God is calling us into this year, to live this life. If you open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, I feel like this is what God is calling us into. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those both Jews and Gentile believers who live as exiles. So basically, he was writing to a persecuted church. So they were just going through a lot. They had been through a lot. They're in the midst of going through a lot. So who live in exile as scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bethany, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to the obedient to Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace abound towards you as you walk closely with God. See, God wants to do his perfect work in us. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to fill us with peace. He wants to fill us with his grace. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abounding and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again. To be born again, this is to be reborn above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, to an ever-living hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into an inheritance which is imperishable, beyond the reach of change, and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being protected and shielded by the power of God through your faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. In this you rejoice greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. You see, they rejoice in the hope of salvation. Right now, there might be trials going on, but they have a greater knowledge. They have a greater hope for salvation, right? It says, even though right now you're distressed, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, is imperishable, even though tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in your praise and glory and honor and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not even see him now, you believe and trust in him. And you greatly rejoice and delight with inexpressible joy and a glorious joy. You see, they did not see him. You know, there are moments where it's going to seem like, okay, God, I'm not seeing you this year. God, where are you? But they knew, even within the midst of them not seeing anything happen, they still believed him. They still trusted him. You still can trust God, even when you're not seeing anything. You still can know that he's with you, even though you're not feeling anything, even though it doesn't feel like it, even though it doesn't look like it. You know, there is a greater place where you can come to, where you know he's with me. And that's the level, that's where God is calling us into. That it's not our situations that determine whether God is with us or that determines the character of who God is. But God determines who he is. And we believe that and we trust him in that, irregardless of our circumstances, irregardless of our situations. Ooh. Receiving as the result, the outcome The outcome, the consummation of your faith, the salvation for your soul. Regarding this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace of God that was intended for you searched carefully and inquired about the future, searched carefully and inquired about the future way of salvation, seeking to find what person or what time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he foretold them. Suffering of Christ and the glorious destiny to follow. It was revealed to them that their service, their prophecies regarding grace were not meant for them at their time, but for you. In these things, the death, the resurrection, and the glorification of Jesus Christ, which you have now been told of you by those who preach the gospel to you, by the power of the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven into these things, even the angels long to look. So prepare your minds for action. Be completely sober in the spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus is revealed. Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which governed you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage, because it is written, "You shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy." If you address the Father as the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in reverent fear of him, which is profound respect for him throughout the time of your stay on the earth. For you know that you were not redeemed from your useless spiritual unproductivity way of life inherited by tradition from your forefathers with perishable things like silver and gold, but you were actually purchased with the precious blood like that of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless, the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. For he was foreordained, foreknown before the foundation of the world, but appeared publicly in these last times for your sake, and through him you believe confidently in God, the Heavenly Father, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are centered and rest in God. May your hope be centered in God this year, not in your degree, not in your job, but may your hope be centered in God. Since by your obedience to the truth, you have purified yourself for a sincere love of the believers, see that you love one another from the heart, always unselfishly seeking the best for one another. For you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal, that is, through the living and everlasting word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all glory is like flower. It's like flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and the flowers fall off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word, the good news of salvation, which was preached to you. So put aside every trace of malice or deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech. Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation. It is its ultimate fulfillment. If in fact you have already tasted the goodness and gracious kindness of the Lord. You know, He's calling us to have our desires to be centered in Him. Our desires to be centered in His Word. Desire Him. Desire to know Him. That's where your satisfaction comes. Desire to be in His Word, to know Him deeper, to know His ways. And then it goes on to talk about how we are a chosen people. We've been called to live a life set apart. We're a holy nation unto God, set apart unto God. To be a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, priests were the ones that used to, you know, worship God. They were the ones that used to, you know, they would worship, they would present the sacrifices to God. But now we carry that role for priests. Our lives in worship to God. Our lives as sacrifices to God. Our lives fully given to Him. So I guess tonight, my appeal is first of all, come to Him. Come to the Father. Run to Jesus. Allow Him to heal you. Allow Him to cleanse you. Allow Him to remove the guilt and the shame. Allow Him to save you, to rescue you. And then give yourself fully to Him. Live this life set apart. Live a life set apart to Him. Make up in your heart that now, God, this year, I'm living for You. I'm living for You. He's worthy of our lives because, like it says in that verse, He has bought us with something far more precious, which is His blood. He paid for us. And so, James, if I can just quickly invite you up. So in just ending tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to, I can't do this for you. I can't, you know, if you know that you need to come back to the Father, if you know that you're not where you want to be with God, maybe you've gone astray, or maybe you've, you know, walked away from God, or maybe you've never known Jesus at all, and you're like, I want to know this Jesus that they're talking about. Surrender yourself to Him. Invite Him. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in and I will dine with you? He wants fellowship with you. The God of the universe wants communion with you. He wants you to know Him and He wants to know you. He thinks about you. He loves you. He loves you. And like I said, it's not something that you have to earn. You don't have to earn. You just have to receive it. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It is a gift. Grace is a gift. But will you receive it? Will you receive His love?